It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Gun-free New York. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. A new controversial law on the books in the Empire State makes it tougher to get a gun. It also creates firearm-free zones at churches, schools, and restaurants. Governor Hochul says guns don't belong where people congregate.
This whole concept that a good guy with a gun will stop the bad guys with a gun doesn't hold up.
The governor rammed through the gun control measures in an emergency session of the state legislature back in July, after the U.S. Supreme Court had just ruled to expand gun rights in New York. Now many in law enforcement say the governor has crossed the line.
How do I feel about this? I probably feel the same way that every other county sheriff does. I'm angry about it.
And that's Erie County Sheriff Joe Garcia.
I've had calls from people that have had their pistol permits for decades, 30, 40, 50 years. And these are law-abiding citizens that now don't know what to do.
He says the gun control measures are a knee-jerk reaction to the top supermarket massacre in Buffalo. Garcia thinks these new restrictions are unenforceable and unconstitutional.
In this county alone, we have over 100,000 pistol permit holders. They're law-abiding citizens, and all of a sudden, they're going to have to jump through hoops.
Anyone applying for a pistol permit must undergo a rigorous 16-hour training session, which includes live firing exercises. They must also submit to authorities 3 years of their social media history. The clash over the raid on Donald Trump's home plays out in a courtroom today in Florida. At issue, how to hand classified documents seized from the former president's estate, or how to handle those classified documents, I should say. A federal judge will decide today whether to appoint a third-party overseer to oversee this politically charged case.
What the Department of Justice and FBI have done have inflamed partisan divisions and mistrust among the American people. Why wouldn't you appoint a special master to try and tamp down some of the emotions on this issue and give the American public some sense that maybe this process will get more fair?
That is former Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre suggested at a press conference yesterday that MAGA Republicans, those who support Donald Trump, are a threat to democracy. Take a listen.
These are things that we have to call out. There has been a consistent call from the president about what he's seeing from an extreme part of this party, of the Republican Party. And historians, I would argue, would say the same.
President Biden will have more to say about these perceived threats to democracy during a primetime address to the nation tonight from Philadelphia. It's billed as a battle for the soul of America speech.
He's trying to distract from his disasters that he's created in this country. The problem with Joe Biden is he does not understand the soul of America. Tens of millions of hardworking, law-abiding citizens that he vilifies.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy fears tonight's speech will have little to do with policy and a lot to do with politics. The president's speech set for 8 p.m. at Independence Hall in Philadelphia. When will the water woes wane in Jackson, Mississippi? Big question mark there. Correspondent Jim Crisula.
Stuck in a car with no air conditioning in 95-degree heat, Erica Williams waited in line for an hour for a case of bottled water.
Oh, wow, this is extremely hot. Just for one case of water, it is extremely hot, but it's worth it. It's worth it.
She's frustrated with the city's long-neglected and long-troubled water system.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. This is something that should have been taken care of 20 years ago.
Williams told me she does feel racism plays into the water crisis in this city that is more than 80% black.
Jackson, Mississippi, and its 180,000 residents have been without drinking water since flash flooding decimated the city's main water treatment plant last week. After busing illegal immigrants to New York City and Washington, D.C., Texas Governor Greg Abbott is now sending those picked up at the border to Chicago. The first bus load arrived there last night. Correspondent Grady Trimble.
So far, Abbott has sent more than than 7,400 migrants to Washington, D.C., more than 1,500 to New York City, and now he says Chicago will be a new drop-off location.
Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot accuses the governor of being inhumane and racist with the one-way bus trips. The governor responded by saying since Chicago is a sanctuary city, it makes perfect sense for it to share the burden of America's border crisis. It's the most comprehensive look so far at how students have fared during COVID. A new report today says math and reading scores fell dramatically for nine-year-olds when compared to just before the pandemic. Susanna Loeb is an education policy expert at Brown University.
The country as a whole did not meet the needs of the students during this time period. I think our system wasn't set up to do it well.
Math and reading declines fell in all regions of the country. Experts blame Zoom school for much of the learning loss. Fourth grade test scores took a plunge we haven't seen in 30 years. Americans crushed by record inflation are increasingly taking out loans just to buy groceries. The buy now, pay later mindset has economists raising some red flags. They're worried about the mountain of debt that many Americans are getting into. Last year, Americans took out $46 billion in interest-free loans online. That's up from $15 billion a year earlier. And at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament, 40-year-old Serena Williams upset the second-ranked player in the world last night to move on to the third round of what will be her final tennis tournament.
You just beat the number two player in the world. How did you do it? Well, I'm a pretty good player.
Williams is indeed. She'll play again tomorrow. Now, if she wins the U.S. Open, she will tie tennis great Margaret Court for the most Grand Slam titles of all time. Still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report, is it legal? New York's new gun laws, and will they debate? Dr. Oz and John Fetterman will hopefully have answers to both of those questions coming up.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. We're heading toward the Labor Day weekend with some pretty impressively nice weather conditions. I'll have forecast details in 10.
All right. Can't wait for that. Thank you, Kevin. In the meantime, let's check some stories making news where you live. Some tough stuff from the Flower City of Rochester, New York today. A 19-year-old man has died after falling into a gorge. It happened off the inner loop near High Falls around 2 o'clock this morning. Police are calling it a tragic accident. No names released just yet. And also from Rochester, a 14-year-old child has just been charged with the near-fatal shooting of a 15-year-old. The victim is in critical condition at the hospital. The 14-year-old suspect will appear at a later date in family court. A controversial new gun law took effect today in New York. We talked about it at the beginning of this broadcast. It requires businesses that allow people to carry to display that for all to see in their store window. Now, the legislation was rushed through an emergency session of the state legislature after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled to expand gun rights in New York.
The Supreme Court decided to strip away the rights of a governor to protect her citizens from gun violence.
Governor Hochul says the new law that she signed last month will create gun-free zones at churches, schools, hospitals, and movie theaters. Attorney Max Tresman doesn't think it's legal.
State legislatures cannot declare gun-free zones based on the idea that they're densely populated or they simply don't want guns to be carried everywhere.
Tresman says the firearms restrictions create a presumption that all businesses in New York are gun-free zones unless they place a sign in their window stating otherwise. Well, will there be a Dr. Oz, John Fetterman debate? Inquiring minds want to know. That is the question in Pennsylvania, as one of the most closely watched U.S. Senate contests in the country heats up. The Democrat, Fetterman, who is recovering from a stroke, is refusing to debate the Republican, Oz. Barney Keller is a campaign advisor for Dr. Oz.
Either he's healthy enough to debate and then should debate, or he's not healthy enough to debate and he should say so.
The Oz campaign has offered to make concessions for Fetterman to make the debate as pain-free as possible.
We're trying to be helpful. I mean, we'd love to offer John whatever accommodations he needs in order to have a safe debate.
The Fetterman campaign views that offer of assistance as condescending and thinks Dr. Oz is poking fun at the Democratic candidate. Fetterman only recently returned to the campaign trail after suffering a stroke in May. A drought watch has been issued for 36 Pennsylvania counties, residents who live there being asked to reduce their water use. The state DEP wants people to cut back their water use by 3 to 6 gallons a day. Two communities, Gailton in Potter County and Waterville in Lycoming County, are requiring water conservation right now. Not just a suggestion, it's a requirement. Grocery stores in New York want guidance from the governor on the sale of whipped cream to anyone under 21. This has been a big topic the past couple of days. State Senator Joe Addabbo says his recently passed law was only supposed to ban retailers from selling nitrous oxide cartridges. It's causing a lot of confusion.
Now I have stores who won't stop checking for ID until a statement comes from the governor.
Addabbo says nitrous oxide canisters are often used by kids to get high. Whipped cream cans contain nitrous oxide, but not enough to do any damage.
They thought you had to buy the canister, crack it open, and suck out the nitrous oxide. You can't do that. By the time you crack it open or expel the whipped cream, the nitrous oxide is pretty much gone.
The state senator insists that whipped cream is not the target of any law and stores should not feel compelled to check IDs any longer. Well, good news for football fans. The price of a popular fall finger food is dropping. And Family Life's Brandon Dixon has the details.
Chicken wing prices have fallen to pre-pandemic levels. The USDA says the wholesale price for a pound of wings fell to $1.68 in July, and that number could be even lower in August. That's a price point that we haven't seen since 2018. It also comes a little over a year after chicken wing prices hit a historic high of $3.25 per pound in May 2021. However, the lower prices aren't expected to last, with the NFL and college football seasons both set to kick off in earnest in the next few days, meaning those mid-game wings will be in demand at bars and restaurants again. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Get them while the getting's good. Thank you, Brandon. It's 13 past the hour. Let's pause for your midday sports on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, we have to begin with the catch of his career. Last night with Jacob DeGrom and the New York Mets clinging to a 2-1 lead. In the seventh inning, Justin Turner hit what would have been a game-tying home run until Brandon Nimmo brought it back. And the Mets held on for the 2-1 victory over the Dodgers. Starling Marte providing all the offense they needed with a 2-run home run in the third. The Phillies hammered out 22 hits and just annihilated the D-backs 18-2. The Bucks fell to Milwaukee 6-1. The Braves remain 3 games back of the Mets with a 3-2 win over Colorado. It took 13 innings before St. Louis came away with a 5-3 victory in Cincinnati, and the Padres edged the Giants 5-4. Over in the American League, the Yankees dropped the rubber game of their series with the Angels, falling 3-2. Shohei Ohtani provided all the offense for the Halos with a 6th-inning 3-run shot, and that wiped out New York's 2-0 lead. Tampa Bay edged the Marlins in 10-2-1 to pull within 6 games of the Yankees. The Blue Jays lost a 7-5 decision to the Cubs. That keeps them 8 games behind the Yanks. Elsewhere, Houston, Baltimore, Seattle, Boston, and the White Sox all won. The Nats knocked off Oakland 5-1 in the other interleague contest. Football news, the Buffalo Bills have a new kicker. He is punter Sam Martin. He inked a 1-year deal. And at the U.S. Open Tennis Championships, the drama continues with Serena Williams. She upset the number 2 seed in a thrilling 3-set victory to move into the third round. That is a look at sports.
Thank you kindly, Randy Mannin. Still to come on the Noon Report, previewing the president's big speech tonight. What will he say? And will it unite or divide the country? God's design for sex. How'd we get that so wrong? We've got a Christian counselor coming up. And Kev's also coming up. He's calling for a beautiful start to that Labor Day weekend.
Recently, at the Celebration of America's Promise to Parents event, Abigail Martinez, a grieving mother, shared a story that every single parent, pastor, and lawmaker needs to hear. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In the eighth grade, Abigail Martinez's daughter, Yaley, began to struggle with depression. Without communication with her mother, Yaley was quickly funneled by personnel at her school towards the LGBTQ group and then to an outside psychologist. Soon, Yaley was being led by these various adults towards a so-called social transition, which meant going by the name Andrew and increasingly presenting as a boy. All the while, she was urged to keep the details hidden from her mom and her family. Well, once Abigail caught wind of what was happening to Yaley, she protested both the secrecy and the strategy of the counseling, urging the counselors to instead look into the underlying issues of Yaley's mental health. But instead, she was told that by refusing to call her daughter by her new name and use her new pronouns, she was the problem. And if anything happened to Yaley, the school said, it would be Abigail's fault. When Yaley was 16, the school psychologist urged the Los Angeles Department of Child and Family Services to intervene, arguing that because her mom was unsupportive of this social transition, Yaley would be better off living elsewhere. So Yaley was moved to a group home where she started taking cross-sex hormones. Abigail was only allowed to see her daughter 1 hour each week. If we keep Yaley out of your home, Abigail remembered being told, she will have more chance to survive. She's not going to try to commit suicide then. Instead, all the while, Yaley's mental health just continued to decline. The testosterone caused her constant physical pain, for which a doctor then prescribed CBD oil. She was taking the cross-sex hormones and she was not happy, her mother said. She changed her name, but was not happy. She adopted a dog because that was going to make her happy. None of it, everything they've done, didn't work. At age 19, having moved out of the group home and pursued her new identity for about 3 years, Yaley took her own life. As Abigail would later tell the Daily Signal, quote, I don't want any parent to go through this because this pain never goes away. You breathe and you can feel the pain. It's hard to imagine a tragedy like this could happen in America. It's hard to believe that a parent could lose custody to the state simply for holding to a child's biological sex. But what's not hard to imagine is that Yaley Martinez will not be the last victim of these bad ideas, indoctrinated by state power. In the case of Yaley Martinez, the silence of her church, well, that was even more tragic. When at the state-assigned group home, Yaley would repeatedly ask her mother when a pastor or a youth leader might come by to visit. She felt close to these leaders. She was eager to see them. They know I'm here, right? Abigail remembered her daughter asking. As Abigail said, I asked them. I gave them the address, but they never visited. They didn't visit Abigail. They didn't visit Yaley. They received no public support from the pulpit or private support either. Abigail Martinez has walked this entire path alone. And in this, Abigail was the victim of a church culture that's designed more around making people feel good and dodging difficult issues than around actually helping people. Shame on them. Yaley Martinez will not be the last teenager in crisis. Her mom will not be the last follower of Christ who needs help. That's why I'm grateful for churches that with truth and grace do show up for parents and students in need. Look, nobody wants this culture war over sex or gender, but we didn't choose this moment. To oppose state-sponsored trans ideology in law and in school is a necessary act of love by Christians. No child should be harmed by state-sponsored lies. No parent should go through what Abigail Martinez went through. And absolutely no parent should go through what Abigail Martinez went through all alone. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
19 past the hour, Kevin Williams is next.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life weather forecast. It's going to be crisp and comfortable this afternoon, sunny to partly cloudy. High temperatures upper 60s to the middle 70s. Starting cool tonight, we drop into the 50s. Sunny and warmer tomorrow and Saturday with high temperatures reaching into the 80s. Rounding out the Labor Day weekend, the chance of a shower, a thunder shower, a fair amount of cloudiness on Sunday. Monday is partly sunny in New York, mostly cloudy with a shower chance in Pennsylvania.
All right, Kevin, thank you kindly. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Lots going on this Thursday, the very first day of September. President Biden will be delivering a primetime speech to the nation tonight from Independence Hall in Philadelphia. He will explain why he thinks MAGA Republicans are a threat to democracy.
It's reminiscent to me of Barack Obama when he famously said to a group in Western Pennsylvania, he talked about conservatives clinging to their guns and their Bibles. And we saw the same thing with Hillary Clinton when she talked about the basket of deplorables and denigrating Americans who hold the traditional American values.
Michael Geer is the president of the Pennsylvania Family Institute. He expects tonight's speech from the birthplace of liberty to divide, not to unite.
And I don't think it's going to work. I think it's actually going to energize many people who say, hey, wait a minute, it's not right to attack your fellow citizens, whether they be of a different political persuasion or mindset than you.
The primetime address on the state of democracy set for 8 p.m. in Philadelphia. A Florida judge hears arguments today on former President Trump's request for an independent review of the FBI raid on his home last month. The feds took documents from Mar-a-Lago marked top secret. The Justice Department claims Trump violated the Presidential Records Act. Team Trump says the DOJ and the FBI are on a personal and political vendetta. Tens of thousands of Jackson, Mississippi residents are still without drinking water. The National Guard's been called in to help distribute bottled water while city officials work to fix the glitch at the water treatment plant. It was damaged last week in flash flooding. This Jackson resident has had it with the water woes.
I honestly don't even want to bathe my baby in Jackson's water. We need help. We need federal oversight. We need something to happen.
The city's rented a water pump that's capable of producing an extra 4 million gallons per day. A new gun law in New York requires applicants for concealed carry permits to provide a list of their social media account going back 3 years as part of the review process. State regulators will be able to browse the applicant's social media posts to decide if that person has the character necessary to own a firearm. Erie County Sheriff John Garcia.
The way I look at it, it's a unconstitutional gun licensing scheme.
The legislation sets up gun-free zones as well at churches, schools, hospitals, and restaurants. It's one of the biggest U.S. Senate contests in the country, but right now one of the candidates is refusing to debate the other. Pennsylvania's Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman refusing to go head-to-head, toe-to-toe with his Republican rival, Dr. Mehmet Oz. Fox News political analyst Carl Rove.
And he doesn't want to debate for two reasons. One is he's still ill. He had a major stroke and it has kept him from appearing much on the campaign trail. He gave a speech in Erie, Pennsylvania, and it's painful to watch it because he's clearly still laboring under the difficulties that stroke victims often have. And the other reason he doesn't want to debate is because the guy has got really wild views.
Rove says Fetterman's views on such issues as drugs and crime are out of the mainstream. Russian President Vladimir Putin will not be attending the funeral this weekend of the last ruler of the Soviet Union. He did, however, send flowers to the hospital holding the body of the late Mikhail Gorbachev. The 91-year-old passed away earlier this week. Gorbachev's funeral will happen inside Moscow's famed Hall of Columns on Saturday. It's now 23 past the hour, and next at noon, a difficult but necessary conversation on God's design for sex. The culture has really messed that up in recent years. Our guest is Gary Ingram with the Love and Truth Network in Glendale, Arizona. You have so much to share on this topic, a difficult topic for sure. I think of the young kids today and just all of the confusion going on with sexuality and gender identity. You're going to be speaking at Family Life headquarters in the fall. What's going on Saturday, October 29th at Family Life in Bath?
Sure. We've been there a couple of times in the past, but it's been a couple of years. I'll be talking on three primary aspects of sex and identity. The first is, how are we doing on that topic as the church? And the truth is, spoiler alert, there's some real issues there in the church. And then secondly, we'll be looking at how do we develop develop environments in our churches that are both safe and transformational. And then the third category we'll be looking at and spending the majority of the time on is how can the church effectively minister in all of the gender, the sexual confusion, the identity confusion that's going on in our communities and in many cases in our churches, especially with our youth.
Yeah. Where did it go off the rails, Gary? I mean, some will point to 2004 when Massachusetts first legalized same-sex marriage. Others say, hey, it goes much farther back than that, the sexual revolution of the 1970s. Where do you pinpoint this as far as God's design for sex and what culture has created here? Two vastly different things.
Well, absolutely. I certainly think that we do ourselves no favors when we point back at the legalization of gay marriage. I think that's a tragedy. Marriage is something that was designed by God for one man and one woman for life. That was his intention. Actually, I think we need to look much further back to no-fault divorce, to the sexual revolution that you point to. And then the church really just abdicating key areas of influence in the culture to the secular forces that's led us to where we're at today.
I'll never forget in June of 2015 when the U.S. Supreme Court guaranteed a right to same-sex marriage nationwide. And I'll never forget what you told me after that key decision, Gary. You said you were more concerned about not so much this same-sex conversation, but it morphing into a sexless conversation. And
right.
No truer words have been spoken. Explain in real practical terms how that is being manifested.
Well, when the idea of gender is separated out and considered a different thing than sex, which it's not, but now culturally the perceived view is that those are two entirely different things. Sex is your biology, but gender is how you feel about who you are as it relates to your biology. So in other words, if you don't feel like a man, then you're not. You're a woman or you're something else, and you can pick what you are. And one of the tragedies, there's so many, but one of the tragedies there is that kids are being caught in the crosshair of this, you know, cultural moment. So many young lives are just being ruined by the confusion around the idea that our sex and gender and our biology is not fixed. You know, when young boys and young girls are wondering, well, am I? I mean, what am I? It creates all kinds of upheaval. It's no wonder there's massive anxiety and depression issues amongst young people.
Yeah, you know, and it goes to extremes. I mean, we've got the UPenn swimmer Leah Thomas swimming with women and a clear advantage there. But I mean, I was in Abercrombie and Fitch the other day. I couldn't tell. Maybe it's just because I'm an old fuddy-duddy, Gary, but I couldn't tell the guy's clothes from the girl's clothes in this kind of gender-fluid culture that we live in. Want to know, Gary, is this a passing fad, or is this here to stay?
Yeah, there's the question for the moment, I guess. I think that it's untenable the way things are right now. I think we're going to be seeing massive class action lawsuits by young people who grow up and they had hardly any counseling, nothing really looking at the trauma they've gone through, but they've just been put on this conveyor belt of so-called gender reassignment, and years have passed and they recognize that there's been irreversible damage. There's a book out by that title, which everybody should read, and that's what we're going to be seeing. And so I think we're seeing the reality that we're just moving further and further away from God's design.
Gary Ingram, our guest with Love and Truth Network, Glendale, Arizona. He's going to be putting on a conference October 29th. That's a Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Family Life headquarters called Sex and Identity, a summit on God's design. I found it interesting. Back in June, Gary, Gallup did a survey that showed 71% of Americans support same-sex marriage. That same poll in 1996 showed just 27%. From 27% to 71%. Do you think that same thing will happen when it comes to public acceptance of the transgender lifestyle?
You know, I'm not sure. I think there was early on a lot of acceptance toward transgenderism. I think people are waking up to recognize that women are being obliterated. What it means to be like a woman is kind of being written out of our understanding. If a man can simply say, I feel like a woman and therefore I am, that really does not leave safe space for women. I think the transgender piece is going to be something that we're going to be seeing a lot of pushback on.
I know we've been saying for generations, you know, it can't get any worse. Well, we'll see where it goes from here a generation from now. Gary, then just in a minute, if you would, what do you hope people will take away from this conference that you have coming up in October?
Honestly, I hope that those who attend who are Christians, the reality that, you know what, we have work to do in our own hearts. We have work to do in our own churches to actually get real and honest about the mound of junk that we've swept under the carpet of our churches, ignoring sexual brokenness in our churches, ignoring heterosexual brokenness, ignoring pornography addiction. And really, it's that kind of ignoring and kind of abdicating and just a silence around that that's really opened up all of this confusion in our culture. So I hope that we actually walk away as Christians with, not with shame, but with a real sense of purpose that God can call me into walking with others in their hurt and their brokenness. But first, I really do need to get serious and invite some other people into my life to walk with me as a band of brothers or a band of sisters who knows me fully, and where I start getting real and vulnerable and walking in the light in our church communities. That's what I hope people walk away with. And then a sense of being more equipped to lovingly and graciously, but absolutely truthfully walking with others as well.
That is Gary Ingram with Love and Truth Network in Glendale, Arizona. This is the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. After a few days that brought afternoon tumult in the form of scattered thunderstorms, we have the makings for some dry, delightful weather moving forward. High pressure will see to it that we head into the Labor Day weekend in stunning fashion with warmth and sunshine. It'll be crisp and comfortable this afternoon, though. Sunny to partly cloudy. High temperatures upper 60s to the middle 70s. Starling cool tonight. We drop into the 50s. Sunny and warmer tomorrow and Saturday with high temperatures reaching into the 80s. Rounding out the Labor Day weekend, the chance of a shower, a thunder shower, and a fair amount of cloudiness on Sunday. Monday is partly sunny in New York, mostly cloudy with a shower chance in Pennsylvania.
All right, Kevin, thank you. And finally, at Noon, ever wish you could take back what you tweeted? Boy, oh boy, this hits home. Correspondent Linda Kenyon says if your answer is yes, then your day is coming.
Twitter says you can soon edit a tweet up to 30 minutes after you've posted it. Since Twitter began in 2006, there's been a simple rule. You tweet it, you post it, you live with it. But millions of Twitter users pleaded for change, and change is happening. But there is a catch. The edit button will be by subscription only, at least initially.
Linda Kenyon in Washington, and that's the world we live in. Thursday, the first day of September. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.